The last words of Jesus in the Gospel of John were, "Follow me." So what does it really mean to follow Jesus? Coming up on Cross Connection. Welcome to Cross Connection. We are so glad you have joined us today, and I promise you that the great study is ahead of us. Isn't it, Sergio?
It so is, and I'm so excited because today we've actually reached the very end of the Gospel of John. And in this beautiful little scene of Jesus having one last breakfast with his disciples, we get the essence of the Christian experience. Jesus loves and provides for his people and then calls them to do the same for the whole world. And that's what we want to explore with today's Cross Connection question. How do you share God's blessings with others? We want to hear from you and the ways God has blessed you abundantly and the ways you've used that to help others.
Excellent. And Sergio, it is sad, but at the same time, it's not the last show of Cross Connection of this season, because next week we'll have
an overview.
Exactly. What is going to be happening next week?
We'll have an overview of the whole Gospel of John, and somehow we'll cram it into 1 hour.
Exactly. So it will be a challenging study next week.
It will be an enormous feat. Yeah.
And I'm glad because we are joined today by Tyler, Diego, and Martha. And let me ask you a question. How did you like the weather today?
It was great.
It was great. It's getting warmer. By Christmas time, by December, the end of December, we will be just wearing our t-shirts.
At the beach.
Yeah. But the beach, this is a very important part, because today we will be talking about the beach.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Where Jesus fried some fish and actually cooked some bread for his disciples who were toiling for the entire night. So it's a great study that is ahead of us. But let me just remind you that next week we will be doing an overview of the Gospel according to John. It's a very important study. So if you didn't get a chance to read the entire Gospel according to John throughout this season, which was a year, by the way, but make sure to read the Gospel according to John throughout this week.
Yep, let's do it. I mean, it took us a year, but hopefully you at home, you can do it in like a week and get ready.
Exactly. So before we open the scripture, let us pray. And Sergio, could you lead us?
Yes. Father, we just want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for the way that your word speaks to us. We want to thank you for the way that your word transforms us. Mm-hmm. We just ask that your word speak to us, transform us today, and make us a new creation in Jesus. Amen.
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 Okay, the Cross Connection is an exciting program because we always try to get ourselves into the context.
Right.
And this is what we will experience today. So let's get into the Word. And
do it.
Experience where Jesus and his disciples were. Look what happens behind us. Look what do you see behind me? We are literally on the beach.
Right by the sea.
Yeah. And look what happens. What is behind Sergio? There is a boat. There is a fire burning. And
this bonfire by the beach.
Exactly. Yeah. This is the Sea of Galilee. Yes. Mm-hmm. And those are Golan Heights behind. Do you see those mountains?
Right. Yeah.
These are Golan Heights. So we are literally in Israel, first century Israel now. Imagine that. Okay, and we will be studying the last chapter of the Gospel according to John. Let me first ask you a question. Do you know what is the purpose of the Gospel according to John, according to John himself? And where can we find that purpose?
Well, I think there are very important ways, I think. But I think a very interesting Bible verse here, it's actually in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. And that says, "Then truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name."
Excellent, excellent. So what do we see? What do we see from the very, like, because this is definitely the summary.
Very clear.
Right.
Yeah, the summary. So what do we see here? What is the purpose of the Gospel according to John then?
Make people believe that he's the Christ.
Okay, right. So first, make people believe that Jesus is the Christ.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Messiah. Secondly, that he is the Son of God.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what is the next?
That we may have life through his name.
Mm-hmm. Life through his name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's a very interesting point. If you look at the name of God in the Old Testament, it was Yahweh.
Okay, so when we read this verse, you may have life in his name.
Name. Yes.
So, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Okay, so, but in the Old Testament,
the name of God, it was Yahweh, and derived from the verb to be, which is to be, to exist. Mm-hmm. And this is showing that Jesus is the Son of God, and even his divinity, he's the Son of God, God himself, and only in him you have life, abundant life.
This is so great. Because we need to go to John chapter 17 then.
Yes.
Because to prove that very point. Because John himself, he wants us to understand that clearly. John chapter 17, verse 3. Mm-hmm. Verse 3. And Sergio, could you read for us John chapter 17, verse 3?
Yes, sir. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
This is it.
Powerful.
This is exactly what we see here. So in Jesus Christ, we can have what?
Life.
Eternal
life. First of all, we know God himself face to face. That's why an overview, and I'm jumping ahead because an overview. The gospel according to John is about meeting God face to face.
Right. Amen. Right. And that's what he's saying, that you might know me.
Yes.
Know his character, know his love, know him personally as you would a friend.
Powerful.
Right. This is so great. Okay, know him as a friend. And we will talk about some people who knew Jesus as their friends.
A friend. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's start reading John chapter 21, verses 1 through 3. And Tyler, could you lead us in?
Yes. Yeah. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing.
Okay, so if we read this passage without the context, we would be lost. Like, what is this passage talking about? So tell me, Martha, what was happening prior to that?
Well, the apostles, how far do you want me to go?
No, just
from the beginning.
let's talk about the resurrection.
Okay.
Resurrection story. Yeah.
Because they were in Jerusalem in Jesus' crucifixion and the Passover, and then Jesus resurrects, and the disciples, they're kind of scattered, and they keep going to different places, but Jesus keeps showing up on different places wherever they are. Mm-hmm. So,
yes. And this is actually, so even in John chapter 20, we see that Jesus appears at least twice to 12 disciples.
Right. Yes.
First time to 12 disciples when the doors were
locked. Yes.
And the second time he appears to the disciples when the doors are again locked.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He appears to Thomas, and Thomas is like, oh. And he pronounces this very words. He says, my Lord and my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is amazing. He's like, for the first time we see a person saying that Jesus is not just the Lord.
But God.
Wow.
God himself. Yeah, and I can imagine for a first century Jew to really say that a man from flesh was God like himself.
And
was
a broken man who has wounds and scars
all over him. I mean, that he has to be something really powerful for him, for him to make a statement like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Hallelujah. But look what happens then. This is so after that, so Jesus appeared twice to 12 disciples. Mm-hmm. And now we see another story. So it seems like, to be honest, when you read chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, I would put a just big dot.
It's done.
It's done.
It's all over.
Yeah, it's all over.
He's written, Jesus has died, he's resurrected, he's appeared to his disciples, they realize that he is God. John explains why he wrote everything he wrote, and that's that, right? But then we have an epilogue after, which is this little scene that we're about to study now.
But this is the gospel according to John. It starts with the prologue. It's just the introduction, and then it ends with the epilogue, which is the conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just that. It's not just a literary style. Mm-hmm. Why not? Because Jesus did not finish his work. Mm-hmm. There was one person who still needed some help.
Wow. Yeah.
That person was Peter.
Powerful.
This is amazing. Wow. Jesus could have said, okay, this is the end. But John says, no, I want to show you something amazing. Mm. For that very person, I will go to Galilee, I will go to the seashore, and I would want that person to experience something incredible. Yeah. So let's see what happens then. So we see, let's just jump for 1 second to chapter 20, because there is something very important. There is a great commission in the gospel according to John. Mm-hmm. People usually talk about the Great Commission in the Gospel according to Matthew, which is, go ye therefore and preach to the nations, etc., and baptize, making disciples, baptize.
Them.
Yeah, exactly. So this is the Great Commission in the Gospel according to Matthew. But in the Gospel according to John, we can read in chapter 20, verse 21. Chapter 20, verse 21. Martha, could you read for us verse 21, chapter 20, verse 21?
Yes. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.
Okay, so what is Jesus doing here?
He's sending them.
Yeah. He's sending them.
Just as the Father sent him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. So he's sending them. But look what happens in John chapter 21, what you, Tyler, just read for us.
Yes.
They're in Galilee, and what are they doing?
They're fishing.
They're fishing. Mm. So let me ask you a question.
Like, what happened? Yeah, what,
they were just sent by God himself, mm-hmm. and now they go back to their vocation.
Right. That's where they started.
The vocation. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Vocation. That's where they started, mm-hmm. yeah. was fishing. Mm-hmm. He called them in Mark 1. He called them, and they were fishing, and then he says, I'll go and make you become fishers of men. Mm-hmm. But here at the end, they're fishing again after he had sent them. So what happened?
Yeah. I think that shows that to a lot of us sometimes, even though we hear the words of God,
right.
that God encourages, he even pushes a little bit, but we have a tendency to slack back and want to go back to things that we are used to do.
To the comfort zone.
Yeah, yeah. comfort zone, exactly. Yeah. So I think that tells about our human nature a lot.
No wonder when in the last chapter of Luke, we see those people, two people running back to their houses on the road to Emmaus.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Clopas and the other one, we don't yes. know. Yeah.
And they're just on fire. They had fire in their...
Once they see Jesus.
Yes.
After they were just going back to their homes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe they went back because they just decided to go to their comfort zone. Because everything, it seems like, was over. But it wasn't really. Because, remember, Jesus appeared to them a number of times. And yeah. Thomas, the one who proclaimed that Jesus is my Lord and mm-hmm. my God, mm-hmm. is among those disciples. Mm-hmm. In verse two, Thomas called the twin Nathanael of Cana of Galilee. Yep. There is actually seven disciples. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to what you said, Diego, that they had that head knowledge that Thomas said it. My Lord, my God, he has the head knowledge. He's had that aha moment, and now they're sitting on the beach, not knowing what to do.
Right.
And Peter says, I'm going to go fishing, and they're like, okay, I'll go with you.
They don't know
what to do with right. this knowledge. You know, yeah. They have that knowledge, and they haven't been mobilized yet into what to turn that into, and that's what this passage is about.
It's powerful.
Yeah, but this is something fascinating, because Jesus just told them that it's in verse 20, we read in chapter 20, verse 21, just as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Mm. And when they were like, okay, let us figure out how we will be sent, it seems to me.
Right.
So they said, okay, let's go back to Galilee. Let's try to figure out how we can be sent. Let's go fishing. Let's go fishing. But I think there's a great lesson to us. Because they've been fishing for how long? They
all
went
night.
Fishing?
All night.
All night. Did they catch anything?
Yeah. Nothing.
Not at all.
Nothing at all. There is a great lesson. If you try to do it your way, sorry.
Right.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Do you really think so?
I think especially when you encounter Jesus, and I'm speaking just out of experience, it's almost like you get through your life without Jesus, and you do okay, I guess, and then you come to Jesus, and then when you have that moment where you stray from him, then you're almost useless without him, you know? You've been bound to him now,
right.
you know? There's that
right.
union there where, like, I'm no good without him now.
Right.
I'm something
right.
incredible with him, but I'm lost without him. And I think that's what we see with these disciples. Like, this used to work. Remember when we used to catch fish a few years ago?
Yeah.
It wasn't that hard. And now without Jesus, they're just lost at sea, literally.
But even the simplest of things becomes difficult.
Yep. But they're professionals. They're professional fishers, aren't they?
Martha, yeah.
They are professional fishers. And now they're failing. Yeah. One after another. Come on, seven of them.
Yeah.
Seven of them. And then Jesus shows up. And when he shows up, something changes.
Right.
And we'll find out what will happen right after the break. So you don't want to go anywhere.
That's right. And while we're gone, take the time to answer today's cross-connection question. How do you share God's blessings with others? See you soon.
Welcome back to Cross Connection. Just last episode, just before the break, the seven disciples of Jesus were in the boat, and we with them were fishing for all night, almost like.
And tired.
It was very unsuccessful. Yeah, we are tired. Yeah.
Right.
So it was not successful at all. But then something happened. Sergio, what happened?
Well, they're out all night, and then someone calls out to them, Jesus, saying, "Children, have you caught anything?" And they say no. They throw their net on the other side, and they catch so much that they have to try and drag it back to shore. Right. And John, well, we assume it's John, the disciple who Jesus loved, says, hey, I think that that's Jesus, that's the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then Peter, upon hearing that, throws on his outer garment, jumps in, dives, even though John points out it wasn't even that far from the shore, but he's so excited that he just jumps in. Yeah, and they approach, and Jesus has already made a breakfast there for them by this campfire.
And this is so great because, so first of all, he says, catch some fish. Mm-hmm. But when they arrive, what do they see right there?
There's a fire.
Fire.
Let's read verse 9 and 10. Sergio, could you read verse 9 and 10?
Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught.
This is a very strange passage. Mm-hmm. First of all, he says, wait a second. We see fish right there by the fire and bread. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus says, get some more. Mm. Like, what's the point? What do you think? Why do you think he would even say that?
It's such a beautiful example because Jesus is the creator of the universe. Like, he made fishes out of nothing when he was feeding the 5,000. Right. But here he's appreciating their work. He's telling them, okay, you put some effort into it, bring your fish. But we'll eat it together.
Was it their effort? Let me just...
It was Jesus' miracle.
Their effort had gotten them nothing all night long. Yeah,
yeah, but they cast the net afterward, right?
Yeah, they did cast the net.
They were bait, at least.
They were following. Right? Yeah.
So it was a bait that they also needed to do. Just that. Right. If you think about it, just wait a second. Do you need to come up? Do you need to create fish? Do you need to look for fish? No, just obey.
Just obey.
But I'll say this: I don't even know that they were obeying. I won't even give them that much credit because it was as far as they know at that point, it was just some guy.
Yes.
Right. Because it was some guy says, throw your net on the other side, and they said, well, let's try it. We haven't caught anything all night, and they throw it on the other side, and then they realize they've caught it, and then that's when John says, that's Jesus. That's Jesus.
This is good.
And I think that happens in our life as well. You know, we have things where we don't even realize God is in control. We don't even realize God is working behind the scenes for our benefit. Mm-hmm. And then it's only after that we have that moment we go, oh my, of course, that's Jesus.
That was good.
That was Jesus.
That was definitely good. No, this is a very good point. Yeah, very good point. Yeah.
No, this is great. It's cooperation with divine power, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Their faith is being exercised. All they're doing is simply taking him at his word.
Yeah, and this is great because this cooperation. Sometimes we say that we need to be the hands and the feet of Jesus on earth. Mm-hmm. Right. It makes sense. However, if we were not the hands and the feet of Jesus, wouldn't he work in this world?
Sure.
He would work.
Right.
And he does.
And he does.
He does, yeah.
Because I think what is happening nowadays, because we think of Jesus as somebody who is in heaven and not present on earth. Mm. It's like, it seems like, okay, we are the only embassy of God.
We've got to be his representative.
We are his representative. Yeah. Wait a second.
Yeah, yeah.
But wait a second. Jesus promised that he would be with us. Jesus promised that he would be always in the form of the Holy Spirit among us, always.
Yeah.
So let's not take on ourselves this responsibility of Jesus train. Let's obey him.
And we haven't gotten into it yet, but what does, you know, Jesus say later? Follow me, follow me. And that's what it's about.
Okay, this is a very good point. But let's see the beauty of it, let's jump to verse 21, verse 13. Let's read verse 12 and then 13. And could you read first, Tyler?
Sure. Verse 12 says, Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What does it remind you of anything at all?
A lot of things does remind me. The first thing when they finally caught the fish, they heard this guy say, put on the other line, and they caught a lot of fish. The first miracle, that must be Jesus.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now again here, it really resembles a lot of things. Jesus breaking the bread, feeding them, even the communion, the Last Supper.
Yes.
There's a lot of associations.
But let's read John chapter 6, verse 11. For 1 second, we will have to go to John chapter 6, verse 11. John chapter 6, verse 11. And whoever gets there first gets to read this verse.
Do I get to read it?
Yeah, please read it.
And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down. And likewise, of the fish as much as they wanted.
So do you see the resemblance?
Yeah, this is pretty clear.
Yeah.
This is like, whoa, the first it was the bread, and then likewise, even the same wording is used.
The fish.
Likewise the fish.
Likewise the fish. And but this is not the end. Let's read what happened after that miracle. Verse 15. Verse 15, in the same chapter, John chapter 6, mm-hmm. verse 15. And Martha, could you read for us verse 15?
Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountains by himself alone. Mm.
So, what were they trying to do? What did the disciples, as well as the crowd, try to do when Jesus fed 5,000?
They tried to make him king.
To crown him as a king. Mm-hmm.
They wanted to crown him as a king.
Yeah.
What was happening when Jesus was just about to be arrested? What was trying Peter to do? He was trying to defend their
king. Right, he was fighting for him.
This is the kingdom that they had in mind. Mm-hmm. The kingdom, remember the cross,
physical.
The cross. This is the physical kingdom. Yeah. Now Jesus shows them a very different type of kingdom.
Right.
That's awesome.
Right.
He shows them something incredibly different. He says, in my kingdom is extremely different, and now I will show it to you.
Yeah.
Just imagine what the disciples would be like. They see the bread
broken,
and
the fish distributed.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, just about 2 years ago, mm-hmm. we wanted to crown you in this very space, uh-huh. this very spot,
yeah,
almost this very spot, because it was just on this shore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we talked about the kingdom, but only now. We get what your kingdom is about.
We started to understand what it is. That's powerful.
Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does. And I think on that point also says that God is very patient with us. Jesus is very patient. He does not just throw all the revelation upon you. He takes time. He walks you through it. Mm-hmm. And then now he's willing to come down. And even as you say in the beginning, for Peter himself to restore mm-hmm. him. The time that he takes, how much time he takes with each and every one of us just for our salvation.
Sure. Oh,
and this is what his kingdom is about.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why we will see that there is, you see, he comes for one person. And the entire chapter 21 is about one person pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus and the disciples are also about the key character, which is one person. Who is one person? Whose name is?
Peter.
What do we know about Peter in the Gospel according to John? Just briefly. The most important.
He was tempestuous.
Okay.
Of course, very zealous, very forward, always speaking out his mind and things like this.
If anybody was supposed to be the prime minister, probably.
It was right.
Well, of course, he's famous for denying, right? The denial of Jesus three times, too.
He denied Jesus three times.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we know? Remember the Last Supper. What did he...
Jesus went to wash his feet, and Peter said... don't wash my feet. But then he's very fiery. He said, Lord, I'm willing to die for you. And then mm-hmm. Jesus says, where I'm going, you cannot follow.
Mm-hmm. So in John chapter 13, we see that Peter says, I will follow you even to death.
Yes. It's fiery.
Yeah. And then in John chapter 18, we read about Peter denying Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then something happens in John chapter 21. And this is what our hidden treasure is about.
Cool.
So check it out. Our senses are very closely tied to memory. In fact, the senses most closely linked with memory are smell and sound. That is why the aroma of a good meal, the scent of a certain perfume, or the sound and smell of a burning fire can elicit powerful memories in us. And that's the subject of today's hidden treasure. In John 21, we read about Jesus cooking a breakfast of fish and bread on a fire of coals for his disciples, who had spent the whole night trying to catch some fish. It is a very warm, beautiful ending to John's Gospel, and the details highlighted in this scene are simply astonishing. You see, Jesus started his ministry in the Gospel of John by turning water into wine at a wedding feast. And here Jesus ends his ministry by cooking breakfast for his disciples. The first feast is a celebration of the launch of Jesus' ministry. And the last breakfast is a celebration of Jesus' accomplished ministry. But a key detail is the fire on which the meal was cooked. You see, back in John 13, Peter had already told Jesus that he would follow him anywhere. But Jesus said, "Where I am going, you cannot follow, but you will follow later." Then, on that cold, dark night, when Jesus was arrested, Peter betrayed him three times while warming himself by a fire of coals. Now here, on a bright, warm morning, the circumstances are dramatically different. But the smell of the fire and the sound of crackling coals bring back the dark memory of Peter's three denials of Jesus. But then Jesus does something beautiful. He asks Peter if he loves him three times. Three times Peter says yes, and three times Jesus responds with, feed my sheep, finally giving Peter the call to follow him. In this short and beautiful encounter, Peter finally understands what following Jesus is all about, serving others. Whether if it was at the first wedding feast or at the last breakfast by the sea, Jesus' entire ministry was about providing for others and restoring them. And in their last encounter, Jesus asked Peter to do the same. There are many things that can remind us of our past mistakes. But remember that Jesus came to restore you, to forgive you, and to provide for you. And he asks that you freely do the same to those around you. And that's today's Hidden Treasure. So when you look at this hidden treasure, how does what you just heard on Hidden Treasure and seen on Jesus on Hidden Treasure can impact your life, and how did it impact your life?
It's a beautiful example of restoration, of mm-hmm. Jesus working for each one of us. Like what we were saying, that he really cares. And the whole chapter was mm-hmm. just about Peter and how Jesus didn't want to leave things like that. He wanted to make sure Peter knew that he was loved and that Jesus loved him.
Mm-hmm. I like what was brought, that by the fire, Peter denied Jesus, but by the fire, he was restored to. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, this idea, remembering of his senses and everything. And it just showed that doesn't matter what you do, wherever you are, or what you have done, mm-hmm. Jesus can always restore. That was very powerful.
Yes, yeah. Amazing.
And this is the theme of restoration, and this theme of blessing others is also prominent.
And that's the question that we're talking about today. And I actually want to address a question that Addie Bukla had on Facebook. She's asking, why is it that after being connected to Jesus, we can't go on our own any longer and do what we used to do before? Why were the fishermen no longer good at catching fish? And I think it's tied to this theme of restoration and providing. I think once you're, like, to go back to John 15, once you are connected to the vine mm-hmm. and you then disconnect yourself, you find that you don't bear fruit anymore. Because you found that source. You know, Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Jesus is the way. And once we've walked that path and then step off of it, I think we find that we're lost again, and we got to get back on.
Right. But this is fascinating, because if those people who were fishing, they were fishermen, mm-hmm. fishermen. But and they it is true, because if we read about this passage, they were not good at fishing throughout the entire night.
Right.
But there is even though they're professional fishermen. Yeah. But there is something amazing about it. Once they encountered Jesus, and once they reconnected with Jesus, they were greater fishers than they were before.
Right.
So it's not that you are not good were when you connect with Jesus.
We are made complete in Jesus.
You're even greater when you were.
Yeah.
How many fish did they catch?
153.
Verse 11. 153 fish.
Yes.
What an odd number. Which is to say, Jesus is not a crutch that we have to, once we encounter him, lean on.
Right. No. Right.
Jesus lifts us up better and far greater than we ever were without him.
Yeah. And Ephesians even said, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can only ask or imagine.
Yes.
In him, we can do a lot more than anything we can ever dream of.
And this is exactly what Cross Connection is about, because we want to stay connected to him, because only then we are fulfilled and we can enjoy eternal life even today.
Right.
Because we are always with Jesus.
Yeah. Awesome.
So stay with us. Don't go anywhere. After the break, we will continue our vibrant discussion.
That's right. And make sure to take the time to answer today's Cross Connection question. How do you share God's blessings? Blessings with others.
Welcome back. The study of the Word of God sets our hearts on fire. And if you feel the same, and I know you feel the same, don't keep it to yourself. Share your comments and your thoughts with us, because we want to read them as well.
That's right. And I think we're at a point in our study where we get to the question. And the question is, how do we share God's blessings with others? Mm-hmm. And we mentioned that they caught 153 fish, which is a huge amount of fish. They couldn't even get it on this boat.
And it says, it's not just fish. It's not just fish. It says
large fish.
Large. Because in the Sea of Galilee, you would see smaller fish, but there would be, no, these were large
fish. Right. And then when they get back,
Jesus has already has fish and bread that he's already prepared a meal for them.
Let me ask you a question. How many disciples were there fishing?
About seven.
Seven. Mm-hmm. So it's 153 divided by seven. How much will it be? 22 almost.
Yes, 27.
22. Yeah. 22. Yeah.
That's a lot of
22
fish.
22 for one person. Yeah. Would you be able to eat it?
No way.
No. I know a friend who would, but
it's just a friend. Put it in the freezer, right?
Yeah. They didn't have freezers, by the way. Right.
They didn't have freezers. Yeah. Oh man.
So what does it teach us?
Well, and then it leads to what we're about to get. Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." He says it three times as they're sitting next to this massive amount of fish that they have no idea what to do with. And I think that's the point of this huge catch, is that not only is Jesus going to provide for you, they go fishing and try to provide for themselves, I guess, but Jesus has already prepared a meal for them. They don't need to worry about themselves. And when Jesus provides, he provides so much that you can then share that with others.
I can only imagine how the village was rejoicing when they saw 150 fish and seven disciples carrying that big net.
And you know, it's almost like he's saying, this is what I'm going to do for you. You know, you labored and caught nothing, but this is what I'll do for you.
And the powerful thing also is not only that Jesus was already feeding them over there, so he was showing them what he meant, but what he said. So everything that Jesus said, he did to show them a very practical application.
Okay, this is very good, because this is exactly why we see the words of Jesus. And let's read John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. And Tyler, could you read for us John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17?
So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep."
It's like the repetition is the mother of teaching. But in this case, it's just three times. Repetition. Right. So what do you see in this very repetition, and how does it affect our lives today?
Do you love me and feed my sheep?
So those two things were repeated.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you love me? Three times.
Yeah, I think I think the three times might be related to the three times that Peter denied Jesus, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, three times. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not only playing with numbers; it's very explicit here. Yes. But one thing that catches my attention here is the question that Jesus does at the beginning: "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Right, these.
Yeah.
Right, and I think that's a great question. And
More than the disciples? More than you love? More than these disciples? More
love
than...
me? Or, you know, or...
So what do you think?
Well, I think
You consulted Greek for that, I guess.
Well, it's just that these here, it's plural, but it's neuter. And it might be referring to, I think, the fish. Mm-hmm. You know, because the first time Peter caught the fish in the other gospel, and now he has to leave the nets behind and that catch over there and go and follow Jesus. Right here, he... has another chance to, and I say, become rich. But Jesus say, "You know what? I want you to follow me. You're going to use this and feed other people." So I think he's saying, do you love me more than these, than the fish, than your own vocation, than your past life, than everything that you used to do? Do you love me more than that?
And this is a very important point. So the word "these" that we see in John chapter 21, verse 15, "Do you love me more than these?" Yeah. This is not referring to masculine plural, which is
the disciples.
Do you love me more than these disciples love me? No. This is neutral, which is specific, related to fish. Because fish is also neutral. Do you love me more than this fish? Because I have prepared something greater for you.
Yeah. And I think that's the point. How is Peter sitting there? We all have ways sometimes where we get obsessed with providing for ourselves. Am I going to have enough to pay the rent? We worry about these things all the time. And Peter was worried about, you know, they hadn't caught any fish all night long. And now he's sitting there next to this embarrassingly large pile of fish. Wow. And Jesus is like, you really going to stress about this again? You really going to worry about this? Or are you going to trust that I'm going to provide for you always? Do you love me more?
Yeah, this is what I want to learn today. This is what I want to take away from this lesson today. I want to love Jesus more than I love my bicycle,
right,
or something else.
My life,
my job, my iPhone, whatever. Right. I want to love God more than I love all these things.
And not just because Jesus is jealous.
No.
But it's because you don't have to worry about that. Yeah. I'm providing for you. I'm providing a ridiculous amount for you, 153 right. large fish. Yes. Stop worrying about it. Focus on what's important, which is us, our connection, and what we can do for the world.
Amen.
And it's giving a sense, like a purpose to Peter right here too, because he was feeling very inadequate. Just denied Jesus, and he was feeling like, I'm not good anymore. I can't be a disciple.
Mm. And I cannot be a fisher anymore either.
Exactly. So by Jesus asking him, do you love me more? He's like redirecting him and bringing him back to, okay, this is what is important, what you were saying, but it's giving him a sense of a purpose in his
and
life.
Peter goes on to be the father of the new church, essentially. Right.
But this is also fascinating, because at first we talked about that Jesus, Peter was the fisherman. But now Jesus even changes who he's going to be.
He's going to be
because he's going to be tending, who's tending?
The flock. Sheep. He's going to be a shepherd.
Yeah, sheep of like, Jesus.
Wait a second. It's just like, I was a, like, I can only imagine what Peter felt. It's like, wait a second. I was a fisherman. I'm not a successful fisherman. I'm not a successful disciple. Now you want to be me to be a shepherd?
Yeah.
Why do you want me to be something greater even than that?
Yeah.
It's just, but because Jesus loves him, because Jesus has faith in him,
And I like Peter's response a lot, too, because he doesn't say, and the old Peter that we knew before, he will say, like, oh, come on, Jesus, of course I, you know I love you. And he will not try to ask or say it in such a peaceful and loving way. Like, he was even hurt towards the end because he just wanted to make sure, and he was even doubting himself. Like, it's a change, Peter. It's a complete change man that now is a very humble man.
This is definitely a change, Peter. Yeah, it's definitely a completely different man.
Yes.
New creation is happening right now.
Restoration.
The restoration and new creation in Peter. Look what happens also next. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 4. And this is something that we definitely need to look at, because this is what Peter said about this very experience, I think. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 4. And Martha, could you read for us?
Yes. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away.
In verse 3, I want us to pay attention to verse 3. There's one word, examples. Why do you think he inserted that specific word, being an example?
An example.
To the flock, too.
Because he saw the ultimate example.
Yeah.
Right.
He saw the ultimate example.
In Jesus.
Who was Jesus Christ
himself. Absolutely.
And even his language here, he changed from a fisherman to a shepherd. You know, the whole imagery here is the flock and the shepherd and the chief shepherd. Right? So he knew he was a lower one.
Exactly.
Under him.
So you're saying he had a change of vocation now.
Change of life. That's
change
what
of
I'm
life.
Saying. Yeah.
Change of life. Yeah, excellent. This is very good. Okay, let's move on, because there is something else about Peter, because Peter was actually, this is a glorious moment, but at the same time, it's a sad moment, because Jesus gives a prophecy about how Peter will even die. Yeah, and Sergio, could you read for us John chapter 21, verse 18.
Yeah.
And then 19,
He said to Peter, most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish.
And then verse 18.
This he spoke, signifying but what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me.
So, you see, the words are very, very dramatic here.
Yeah.
This he has spoken to signify Peter's death.
Right.
And after he has spoken this, he said, follow me anyway. Like, if it was not changed Peter, he would say, oh, you're going to cross? Oh, let me run back. Just as he be denied Jesus three times. Because Jesus was actually walking to the cross.
Yes, yeah.
But what happened here? Tell me, how can it happen that he was changed right away?
He was converted.
He was.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, but before, when in John chapter 14, John chapter 13, Jesus is saying that he's going away, and Peter is saying, Lord, tell me where you're going. I want to follow you.
I will even lay down my life
for
he
you.
Says.
Yeah, and he said, where I'm going, you cannot go, but do not let your heart be troubled, and he goes on. But here now is the time. Now you're getting, let's get serious now. it went through your test, it went through this. Now I've given you my grace. And I think this is powerful because only when we receive grace and forgiveness, we're truly converted.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When we really, we've been receiving forgiveness and now we give an opportunity to a new life, then we convert and now we can follow Jesus, but only after receiving his grace and forgiveness.
This is beautiful. Why beautiful? Because even here it says, Simon, Jonah. The word Jonah, the meaning of the word Jonah or John means God is gracious.
Wow.
God is gracious. So Simon, God is gracious. Simon, God is, and this gracious. Is exactly what it says three times.
And
Simon, son of Jonah. Simon, God is gracious.
Wow.
Simon, God is gracious. Whoever you are, wherever, whenever you listen, God is gracious. He wants to restore you today.
That's
and don't go anywhere because we will continue after the break.
That's right. And as we wrap up our study, we want to add your story. So take the time to respond to today's Cross Connection question. How do you share God's blessings with others?
Welcome back, and I hope you enjoy our discussion because the Word of God is amazing.
Yeah,
and
it's not just the book, but it's the revelation of Jesus Christ in the Word of God.
Right, yeah.
It's a person of Jesus Christ. That is the truth.
Yeah.
That is the truth.
And I'll jump in with some comments only because it's not just our discussion, it's your discussion as well. We want to thank you for joining in. Before I take any of this, these comments that we've gotten through text message and Facebook and whatever, I want to take a comment that we've got the old-fashioned way. Someone wrote into us, actually, Carol from Minnesota, thanking us and everything, but saying that something she does is that she makes prayer quilts and that she prays over them and provides them for the terminally ill. And I just wanted to read that because that's something that really touched us. It's something that you're literally putting your time and effort and love into and praying for people and giving them a little something. And I think Jesus' heart is warmed as well whenever that happens. We're talking about Feed My Sheep. I'll take a comment from Pam. Let's just take it surface level. Pam says, I can share his blessings by sharing a meal with another, giving away clothes, or giving someone else a place to stay. I can also share the word of God with others. And I like that because we can get very philosophically, theologically complex, but if at the end of the day that's all we do and we don't just do the surface level, just feed people. just give them something to eat. Provide for people. Sure. It's what Jesus did. It's what he wants us to do. So I really like what Pam had to say.
Yeah. Right. This is great because this is exactly what we see this is exactly what Jesus says here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He says, feed my sheep.
No, like, when we were talking a minute ago about Peter not really caring about when Jesus tells him what kind of death he's going to have, we see that he finally understood what the kingdom of heaven was about, what Jesus' kingdom was about.
Yes.
And that it had given him a purpose when it's others, serving others and not about himself. So when Jesus tells him, this is how you're going to die, he's more focused on feed my lambs and I have a new mission.
No, this, Martha, what you're saying is simply astonishing and amazing. Why? Because this is exactly what was happening in this at that time. Mm-hmm. The entire nation of Israel, they were waiting for another king who would overthrow the nation of Rome and who would just establish a new kingdom here in Palestine and it will rule forever and ever. When Jesus comes, he brings a very different type of kingdom in this world.
Yeah.
He says, in my kingdom, service is the one who serves is the king.
Right. Right.
In my kingdom is the greatest. Exactly. The one who serves is the greatest. In my kingdom, it's all about that. My kingdom will permeate other kingdoms like yeast.
Yeah.
This is exactly what he was talking about. The kingdom of God like yeast.
Yeah. Right.
It will permeate other kingdoms and it will start growing in other kingdoms of this world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it will be a different type of kingdom that will change the entire world. Mm. This is amazing.
And Oleg, you know, what I love about this part of John is that we see that we're to serve not for for the sake of lowering ourselves alone, not for the sake of humbling ourselves alone as an exercise in self-denial. Jesus here shows that we're to give of ourselves because Jesus even now is giving of himself for us.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, give because look at all this fish I gave you.
Right.
So give some of it away. And I think that that's something that I need to take heart in my own life. Oleg, I was telling you earlier today how I was driving back home and there was a homeless man on the side of the road. I opened up my wallet. I had $26. I gave him $6. You know, and he was very thankful. He said, God bless you. I said, God bless you. And then driving back, I thought, why didn't I give him the 20 too? Because I thought, well, I might need it later. Even if I'd had $300. I should have given it all because Jesus is going to provide for me, and I need to then share that with other people. And it's something that I really want to take to work on my own heart of just giving everything I have to others, because God is going to keep giving of
and
himself
to me. And this is amazing
me.
Because what we see, and you can also give to Hope Channel, by the way. Because, because Hope Channel, this is how we, Hope Channel survives as well. And just like Carol, when she wrote a letter to us, she actually attached it to the check. I'm not talking about that, but this is exactly how ministry is supported as well. Mm-hmm. Because God will provide to you as well, just mm-hmm. as God is providing to us. And we are praising God for that.
Yes.
So thank you for your praise. Thank you for your support, because this is how we all are in this ministry, you and us.
Yes.
We all are together. Mm-hmm. But this is amazing. Why? Why when Jesus talks to Peter, he says, "Do you love me?" Mm-hmm. He didn't say, "Do you remember how you betrayed me? Mm-hmm. Do you remember you?"
Wow.
He said, "No, I don't want anything of that. I forgot it."
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Do you love me?
Do you love
me? That's all he's interested in.
Exactly.
All he's concerned with.
It's just,
do you love me?
It's about love. You know, we can talk about knowledge. We can talk about theology.
Yes.
We can talk about pastoral work. We can talk about some other positions. We can talk about what ministry we make or do, et cetera, et cetera. How many, whatever we do, how many tables we serve. It's all pointless.
But Oleg, Tyler nailed it. You know, if he had asked Peter before, do I have your passion? Do I have your zeal? Do I have your devotion?
Right.
Are you even willing to die for me? Peter would have said yes to all of them. But Jesus didn't want it.
He wants
his love. And then once Peter gets that, realizes that when he looks at his relationship to Jesus through the prism of love, mm-hmm. and that's what it's all about, then he is changed. Then he's willing to die mm-hmm. for him. Then he transforms the world mm-hmm. through the gospel, as we read in Acts.
And I think that's what the whole scripture boils down to. The love of God, to love God above all and love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And that's the whole point. That's the whole point. And sometimes we, as you mentioned before, people usually think the Great Commission is just go and preach and baptize. I think in the prism of the Gospel of John and the Bible, the Great Commission is to love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what it boils down to here. You know, not the other things are not important, but love comes first.
And let's just jump for 1 second to John chapter 4. Verse 16, the last part of verse 16. You can read the entire gospel according to the first John chapter 4, the entire chapter, but now we will read just one verse, which is John chapter 4, verse 16, the second half of John 4:16. What does it say in your Bible, Diego?
John chapter 4, verse 16.
Yeah, the second half. Or first one as well, of course.
Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here."
No, first John.
First John, sorry. You said John. I'm going to come to Diego's
John.
Defense.
Yes. Yeah. First John chapter 4, verse 16, it says the last part, God is love.
Mm-hmm.
And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this is exactly the conclusion of the gospel according to John. Do you love me? God
is
because
love.
God is love.
Yes,
and the one
yes.
who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's so powerful when you think of this fact that God is love, it completely transforms your life, because you realize that force of love, that force of God and his love is what unites the whole world. It's what unites us all together.
Yes.
And I'll take a comment from Nancy talking about that. Why would we not then want to share that with others? Nancy says, "Our Lord wants us to focus on others and not on ourselves. We can share God's blessings with others by sharing a word of encouragement, showing compassion and love." And that's what it's all about. That's what unites us. That's what's going to create the kingdom of heaven on earth,
right.
is this idea of love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I want us to see this, the entire picture, big picture of John chapter 21 now. Next week, you don't want to miss our episode next week when we'll be talking about the entire gospel according to John. Read John, gospel according to John. But today, look how beautiful the picture is presented by John. First, he talks about the disciples went fishing.
Mm-hmm.
They were not successful because they were disconnected with Jesus Christ. That is definitely here. Then we see that Jesus restores them. But before restoring Peter, he provides abundant amount of fish, mm-hmm. 153 large fish.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And then at the very end, he says, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes, I do. I do. I do." That's why he says, "Feed my sheep. Feed. Be the hands." And then he says, "Follow me."
Yeah. Mm.
But this is not the end. Because there is something else that Jesus wants to correct in Peter. Changing Peter.
Oh, I love this.
What is that?
Okay, well, look what it says here. Verse 20, it says, then Peter, turning around, this is right after Jesus had told him what death he would die. Mm-hmm. He turns around and he says, whom Jesus loved was following him, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper.
Verse 21.
Yeah, 21. Yes. Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man?
Yes.
So he's asking, what about this guy? You know, what
he's still
of
concerned
death
is, with others.
Right. He's, like, he's, right.
His
with eyes
the success
are on
of others.
Else. Right.
Yes.
Exactly. So his focus is off Christ and on someone else. And Jesus said, if I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? Follow me.
No, he says,
you follow me. You follow me.
This is great. So do you see this progression? First, you think that God will not provide? God will provide.
Yes.
Do you think that your commission is to love me and to serve others? And finally, I want you, do not look at others. If they're successful, let them be successful. Let your love be for the sake of love.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what this love does is it gives us this powerful hope. And that's a theme in a few of the messages we've gotten. I'll take an anonymous text message that we received. It says, I share God's blessings that have been bestowed upon me with the words of my testimony. God's greatest gift to me was hope. And if God's grace could save me, then there is hope out there for anyone willing to accept his precious gifts. I'll take another comment from Adibukala, who was saying the same thing. It says, give hope. When I was tempted to despair this week, I realized that hope is the only gift we have to give in this life that the rest of the world doesn't. I share God's blessing by sharing this hope so to inspire family and friends not to give up in trials. It's not just important that Christ died, it's important that he rose too. His rising gives hope. And I think that that's something these disciples had after resurrected Jesus is something that we have. We have this hope. Nothing can stop us now.
This is simply incredible. Because after the resurrection of Jesus, we see this transformation and restoration of Peter. And then the next book of the Bible is the book of Acts.
Oh, man.
And in the book of Acts, the first leader of the church and the one who proclaims Jesus better than anybody else, who is that
Peter.
Man?
Peter. Acts
that man is Peter.
And he's on fire.
Yes,
by the fire, now he's on fire.
What is your takeaway lesson today?
Well, let me just start where we ended. Follow me.
Follow me.
Following Christ. What does it mean to be a follower, to keep my eyes on Jesus no matter what?
And not just follower, but also an imitator.
Imitator of love.
Of
right?
love, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, love is a verb, is an action, right? So if you say that you love God, but you do not go and serve other people and help other people, you don't love God. So it boils down to love and how to follow Jesus' action concerning about other people.
This is great.
That no matter what I've done before, no matter who I've been before, like Peter, the love of Christ can completely change me and make me, as we were talking in Acts, like a couple of days later, Peter's a changed man, a completely different person, and that he can do that for me through his love.
Excellent.
I think so much of this following him is, Oleg, you were alluding before, sometimes we think we need to be his hands and his feet or else God's will not be done in this earth. But I think it's the opposite. God's will is done on this earth. He is so good to us. And then we just respond to it. Just his awesome love. Nice. And we go, I want to follow you. Yeah. And Judy May says it on Facebook. She says, maybe God uses it to help us realize who was really helping us all along. And that's what it really is, that God helped these disciples before they even knew it was Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then they go and follow him. So I think that's what it's about.
This is great. Thank you so much for this great study. And we learned a lot today.
Yeah.
And I hope you also learned a lot today. Peter's transformation was truly remarkable. Only a few weeks before, he had wept bitterly over denying his Lord. Now, in the light of a new day, he expresses his love and is completely restored and forgiven. In fact, just a few weeks after his breakfast with Jesus during the Pentecost, he found himself as the leader of the church explaining to a huge crowd that something had happened which had changed the world forever. What God had done for Peter, he was doing for the whole world. New life, forgiveness, hope and power were shining forth like a new day, sun after a long and dark night. This is what God in Jesus Christ has prepared for you. Just claim it and be restored. Until next week, stay connected with Jesus Christ in your everyday life and also on Cross Connection.